in chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We want to, Brother Ross is, I guess, also supposed to be gone on the 18th this month, and so, Lord willing, I'll be filling in there then as well. And so this, I think what we're going to try to do is a two-part message that will end on the 18th of this month. But today we want to start a message entitled Running the Race with Patience. Running the Race with Patience. Let's go into a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, your great grace, Lord, showed upon us, Lord, knowing that we're undeserving of anything good, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, for your salvation. We pray, Lord, that you may help us to not take our salvation for granted, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we may truly be a people that are always moving forward for you and being faithful unto your word and unto the calling, Lord, that you've put us in, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you may help us to be faithful servants of God. We pray, Lord, that as we go through this life, knowing that there's difficulties and trials and troubles that come about, we pray, Lord, that you may help us never to give up. Help us, Lord, to keep on running the race, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you may go with us as we go into this message. We pray that you may help us to speak those things that are needful and beneficial unto those that are here. We pray that you may help us to take heed to the things that you may reveal unto us through your word tonight. And we pray that you may use it as you see fit. And most of all, Lord, we ask that whatever is said and done tonight, that it may be pleasing unto you, that it may glorify and honor your name. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While everything in these three verses is relevant to our subject, and we'll note many of these things as we go along, our primary focus will be on the last phrase of this verse 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Bible uses several different metaphors to describe the Christian life. The Christian life is compared to a battle, a fight, a war. We're told in 1 Timothy 6:12 to fight the good fight of faith. We are told that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, Ephesians 6, verse 12. Timothy was charged to war a good warfare in 1 Timothy 1:18. It's compared to a walk. We're told to walk in newness of life in Romans 6, 4. We are to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 1. As the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. And we walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It's also compared to standing. The gospel that we have received is wherein ye stand, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1. By faith ye stand, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6:1. Stand fast in the Lord, Philippians 4:1. There are all these metaphors that characterize the Christian walk in the Word of God. And these different metaphors, they reveal different nuances, different aspects, different types of principles and characteristics that are necessary if we are to persevere and to have victory in our life for the Lord. One such metaphor is what we see in here in Hebrews in chapter 12, that of running a race. Now, one thing I kind of find a little bit interesting is that the Word of God compares the Christian life to both a walk and a run. And some may hear that and say, well, does this mean that at points in our life we are to walk and at other times we are to run? No, not really. What the Bible really reveals by bringing out both of these metaphors in relationship to our Christian life for God is that both metaphors are really always applicable. The metaphor of walking should apply at all times in our life. There should never be a moment where we are not walking in newness of life. There should never be a moment where we are walking after the flesh, but we should always be walking after the Spirit. At all times, we should be walking by faith and not by sight. It's a reference to a steady, consistent, gradual growth in the Lord. However, at the same time, the metaphor of running, as we see here in Hebrews 12, is also always relevant and applies at all times as well. While we are always to walk in newness of life, it is also necessary to always be running and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, these metaphors do kind of spill over a little bit into what they picture. They both picture a constant moving forward, obviously, but there is also a very real sense in which they apply to different aspects of our Christian life as well. But we want to talk about this metaphor of running the race. For we're exhorted here to run with patience the race that is set before us. We're going to ask basically four questions and try to answer those questions as we go through this message over the two times, Lord willing, we'll be going through this. But we'll get through two questions tonight, Lord willing, and two questions next time. But number one, what are the implications behind running the race? Now, what I mean by this is, what is God's Word trying to imply to us by comparing the Christian life to that of a run, to that of running a race? Now, if you are going to run a race, then there are some things that you need to consider. And there are some things that you need to do in order to run that race effectively. I know that I don't really look like it now, but there was a time where I used to run a lot. At one point, I was running probably 6 to 8 miles, 5 or 6 times a week. But I never really got into the somewhat, you know, the competitive running scene, mainly because I had this thing about paying to run, paying money to run, and also I could also run on my own schedule. I could sleep in on Saturday and still get my run in. But there was one 10K that I did, and that was because my cousin, who was coming in for our family reunion on Labor Day, kind of wanted me to do it, so I did it. I'll reveal some of the details of that run later, because I think it's relevant. It taught me something, and I think it kind of goes along with what we'll be looking at. But if you have ever ran competitively in any capacity, or if you know anything about running competitively, you know that there is more involved in running a race than just going out and run. First off, one thing you need to do if you set out to run a race is to consider or count the cost of running that race. And what I really mean by that is that you have to come to terms with some things. You have to realize what running a race will involve. Now, this aspect is kind of pictured in the parable of the sower a little bit with the stony ground here. The stony ground hearers are often surprised by the realities of the Christian life. The reason for much of this is probably because you have so-called preachers today that really won't tell the truth to people, but they present this pie-in-the-sky Christianity that involves no problems or no difficulties at all. But that's not the reality of things. And so while the stony ground here seems to endure for a while and seems to receive the word with joy for a while, when trouble or difficulty comes along because of the word, they're offended and they quit. And the reason for that, according to Jesus Christ in the parable, is that there was no root in them. In other words, they were not truly saved. Their root was not in Christ, but their root was in being comfortable, basically. And once things became not comfortable, then they quit. They gave up. But much like running a race, the Christian life is not something that is especially easy. The Christian life is not for the faint of heart. In fact, Scripture is full of exhortations for us to faint not. In fact, even in our text here tonight, we're even exhorted of this in verse 3. It says, "For consider Him," telling us to consider Christ, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself." Why? Because if we don't consider Him, if we're not focused on Jesus Christ and what He did for us, then we'll probably become wearied and faint in our minds. So we're exhorted over and over in Scripture not to faint and to be warned about not fainting in this walk for our Lord. But why would Scripture tell us these things so often? Warn us of not fainting. Because the Christian life involves exertion. That's why. It involves effort. Strenuous and demanding effort, just like that of running a race. If you are going to run a race, you need to realize that it's going to take a lot of effort to run that race effectively. For the saint, it is going to take effort to effectively live for the Lord, and we need to consider those things. Secondly, another implication behind this metaphor, and it's somewhat related, is that if you are ever to expect to run a race effectively, it will also require training. The greatest athletes on the planet spend vast amounts of time training. And if you are going to run a race, you better train, or I can about guarantee you that you're not going to fare very well. And guess how you train to run a race? Now, this might surprise you a little bit, but this is how you train. You run. That's what you do to train for a race. You train to run a race by actually running. Now, there are some other things that you can do to supplement that training, such as some light weightlifting, eating healthy, obviously, drinking plenty of fluids, getting plenty of rest. But the bulk of one's training regimen will by necessity be to do the thing you are training to do. So if I'm training to run a race, then I have to run to build up my endurance for the race before me. If I'm training to be a pediatrician, for instance, then I have to first engulf myself with obvious medical knowledge about children and diagnosing children. But then I also have to put that knowledge to use by actually working with patients. Maybe working with or shadowing a more experienced pediatrician. And I think that's important when it comes to training as well. Typically, the most effective training will involve a trainer of some sort. Someone to teach and to train you to get better at what you are training to do. Again, even the greatest athletes in the world, even in their prime and at the peak of their ability, still have trainers, they still have teachers, they still have coaches. And I think all this relates to the Christian life as well. If you are to run the Christian race, then you must train. And there's an aspect of it where you must just jump right in immediately doing it. To run a race, you must go ahead and start running to build up that endurance to run that race. This involves, of course, the obtaining of knowledge. It involves that. And so how do we gain knowledge of the Christian race? How do we do that? Well, we engulf ourselves with the Word of God, with Scripture. You can't run a race effectively if you don't know where you're going or if you don't know anything about the race. And Scripture reveals where we are to go as God's people, if you will, what we need to know. It tells us how to talk, how to dress, who to marry, who to be friends with, how to interact with others, how to deal with difficulty. Everything we really need to know is contained in this book. And we need a steady, a healthy, balanced diet of God's Word in order to run the race effectively. But then you must put that diet to work. I mean, what good does it do for me to lock myself up in some closet in the basement or whatever and just read my Bible and never come out? See, not only do we need to train by gaining knowledge of the truth, but we also need to train by gaining wisdom regarding that truth. Wisdom is more than just knowing what is right and wrong or knowing truth and facts. Wisdom speaks of properly applying that knowledge that the Lord has given unto us. We need to apply the Word of God to our lives. Now, I may know that I need to pray and pray often and pray consistently. But if I don't actually pray, what good is that knowledge of prayer that I have? I may know the truth of the gospel and know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But if I don't put that into motion and actually tell others the truth about their sin and about Jesus Christ who can save them from their sin, then what good is that knowledge of the gospel, at least for others anyways? We have to run in order to train for running the race. By putting these things into motion, we build up stamina, we build up endurance for more challenging obstacles along the way. And as we alluded to earlier, I think it is also beneficial to have trainers. I think the most effective, or some of the most effective trainers anyway, at least earthly trainers as it applies to this Christian race, are parents. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Typically, it will be one's parents that will have the most influence on one's life. So training begins or should begin at the home. Parents should instill into their children godly habits, praying, reading God's Word, seeking to tell others about the Lord, treating others with respect and kindness. Now, this doesn't mean that parents are the only means of training in our life. In some cases, it may not even be possible for the parent to be the primary trainer for one in the things of the Lord, depending on the situation. Parents may not even be saved. They might not even care about God. So, depending on circumstances, that may not be possible. We understand that. But we would do well to have some sort of trainer in our life. Whether it's a parent, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, a friend, we need guidance from those that may be more experienced sometimes. And of course, thankfully, as God's people, we all have the indwelling of the greatest trainer, the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." And that's obviously in reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ said that. He will guide us into all truth if we're one of God's people. Thankfully, we are not at the mercy of priests and popes to reveal unto us what Scripture means and how to live out this book, this word, the principles of this word properly, like the Catholics are. They are dependent upon priests and those above them to tell them how to live and how to interpret this word. But thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. And we're not dependent on man. We have been given the Word of God that we can read. We have been given the Holy Spirit to lead us as we read, to guide us and to reveal to us and to help train us, to help us to understand the truth of God's Word. So the implications behind running this race, one, again, to run effectively, it will involve effort. It will involve endurance, overcoming difficulty, and also it will involve training. Number two, how are we to run this race? Verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." According to this verse, we are to run the race patiently or with patience. It has been rightfully said that the Christian race is a marathon, not a sprint. And that is typically the case. And it is important, I think, for us to understand the different mindset that one must have when running long distances, like that of a marathon, as opposed to the mindset that one would have running a short distance, like that of a sprint. Now, regardless of what type of race that you'll be running, it will come with its fair share of challenges. It will also require training to effectively run that race. But there's a different mindset behind running a long distance than there is running a short distance. See, after you've counted the cost of the race before you and after you've trained for the upcoming race, you will approach that marathon much differently than you will approach that sprint. When it comes to running a sprint, my approach would be what? To go as hard as I can for the full duration of that race. Until I reach the finish line, because it's a sprint. It's a short distance. It's going to be over, and it's not going to be very long, and it's going to be over. However, when it comes to running a marathon or some long distance race, my approach is going to be a lot different. Now, I will say this, even in a marathon, you still want to make the fastest time possible, right? You still want to have a good time. So there is still a manner of giving it your all. But in a marathon, one must realize that starting like a ball of fire does not mean that you will end like a ball of fire. In a long distance run, you can't just start off going as fast and as hard as you can go. Why? Because if you do, it won't take you very long before you're barely moving at all. Because you've used up all your energy, used up all your strength. And at that point, you may be barely moving, even at a walking pace, and you might even have to stop completely and bow out of the race altogether. A long-distance race takes patience to endure and finish well. Now, before I give you an example of what running patiently does mean, I'd like to give an example of what it does not mean first. By this metaphor of running the race patiently, it does not mean that we are to take our time to rid our life of sin. We are not to be patient with our sin. Now, keep in mind, when the Lord saves a person, that person doesn't automatically become everything he should be. He doesn't have all the knowledge of Scripture. He doesn't walk a perfect life like he should. We know that to be true. We're in the flesh still. We still falter. We still fail, even as children of God. Now, we are made a new creature, and there probably will be a manner of ridding your life of certain sins immediately. Right off the bat, that certain obvious sins that you're aware of. Maybe you were a drunkard but right before you were saved, and immediately after being saved, you stop. Right then and there. But what about things in our life that maybe we don't even realize are sinful at the time we're saved? What do we do then? Well, we'll probably continue in those things, won't we? For a while. Or at least until God reveals unto us the sinful nature of those things. Now, patience does come into play here if it's someone else and their sin. Meaning that I might have to be patient with this person or that person until the Lord reveals that sin to them, that they might make things right. Remember, God doesn't reveal all truth to everybody, nor does He reveal things on the same timetable to everybody. However, we are never to be patient with our own sins or wrongs. If the Lord has revealed something sinful in my life, or if the Lord has convicted me of something from His Word, while we may be patient with others concerning that sin, we are not to be patient. I am not to be patient with myself. I am to immediately turn from that and do that which is right. I remember, really for a while after I was saved, I listened to secular music and I didn't give much thought to it. But after a while, the Lord revealed to me, hey, this is not good. You're fooling yourself if you think that the music you listen to doesn't affect you. It does. And the Lord revealed that unto me through His Word. And so there came a point where I was like, I have to stop listening to this stuff. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There is no patience necessary, no time to waste when it comes to my sin. You do not have a right to be patient with your own sin either. If you know that you're sinning in a certain way, you need to stop immediately and repent. And turn from that. But the Christian race most certainly does require patience in many respects. Again, we think of the metaphor of running. Now, I mentioned that I had run one 10K in my life, and this is where the story of that 10K comes into play. I remember being in this race, I remember being taught patience in running. Now, just so we're on the topic, I will brag on myself a little bit. I did get first in my age group, so that's pretty cool. The closest one to me in my age group was like 12 minutes behind me. But a lot of that was probably because most people did the 5K. You could choose between doing a 5K or 10K, and there wasn't a whole lot of people that did the 10K. So it's probably not too impressive that I came first in my age group. And I think I was like fifth overall on the 10K. But again, not many people ran it. But, you know, a 10K, some of you probably know, this is about 6.2 miles. And I think it was around the 2.5 or 3 miles into this race that I came to this hill. If you ran the 5K, there was no hill. It was flat ground the whole race. So those wimps got out easy. But the 10K runners, they had to deal with hills on their track. But I came to this hill, and I remember distinctly there was this guy on this hill, and I passed this guy going up this hill. He was probably in his mid-40s or something. And I'm in my mid to late 20s at the time.
going up this hill. Because, and I'm passing him because I even going up this hill, I'm keeping a relatively good pace at this time. However, probably about this 5 mile mark or so, I started to hit this plateau where I was starting to slow down, and I was having a bit of trouble of keeping a decent pace. And guess what happened? Well, that guy I passed earlier, he now passes me. And I, of course, do not see him until across the finish line later on. And the part that really probably bothered me the most was in the last mile or so, there was this older gentleman, probably in his 70s or so, that passed me not long after that. And I don't even remember ever seeing this man earlier in the race. But yet he kicked my tail. Why? Because I didn't run patiently. And after the race, I got to the guy that I passed, and then he repassed me back. I got to talk to him a little bit, and he was a little bit impressed that when he found out it was my first, competitive race. But he did give me a piece of advice. You have to learn to pace yourself, especially when going up hills. And the reason for that is because it's the heels that really have the potential to beat you up and hurt your ability to finish the most. You know, we mentioned the stony ground here, and they bow out of the race when trouble comes along, when difficulty happens. You know, they're doing fine when everything's just going well. But when trouble comes along, they quit because there's no root in them. We talked about training in our first point, and training takes a lot of discipline. Just like with training for a race, you have to discipline yourself in many ways to live effectively for the Lord. You have to discipline yourself to read the Bible, discipline yourself to pray, discipline yourself to overcome fears and witnessing to people. And when you discipline yourself to do these things eventually become habits, which of course can come with its own set of issues, but they become habits, and as they become habits, they become easier and easier to do. And when that happens, we have to guard against, you know, just kind of going through the motions with things. But I would rather have a habit that maybe I'm kind of going through the motion through than not have that godly habit to begin with. But anyways, while discipline is absolutely necessary in the training aspect of the Christian life, it is also absolutely necessary in the grind of the Christian race itself as well. And what I mean by that, it takes discipline to look at that heel in front of you, that trial, that tribulation, that confrontation, that offense, that difficulty ahead of you, and say, I'm not just going to rush through this thing, but I'm going to face this thing head on, and I'm going to deal with it biblically and properly. You see, typically, when we're faced with difficulties, what's our tendency? Our tendency is probably to go the path of least resistance, isn't it? Instead of dealing with the root cause of the issue, we might try to ignore it and just kind of hope that it just goes away. But it doesn't go away, does it? And sometimes it may seem like it goes away for a while, but since we really didn't deal with the matter, we just kind of masked it or just kind of weaseled our way through it, the peace that we have is only temporary. While in the short run, ignoring the matter got us through the difficulty quicker, in the long run, it will only cause more deep-seated problems that are not so easily avoided. So it takes discipline to look at this dispute with my brother and sister in Christ, or that confrontation, or this offense with such and such person, and to sit down and hash out everything that needs to be hashed out instead of just ignoring it or trying to find a way around it. And it may take a little extra time in the interim, but in the long run, it will better serve us to be able to finish the race strong and even help someone else to finish the race strong. So this running the race patiently, I think, has a lot of application to enduring hardships. That even in the midst of these difficulties, we never give up, we don't quit, nor do we try to take shortcuts or go around problems. But we keep on keeping on, if you will. We keep on chugging along. We keep running the race. If we have to slow down a little bit, we slow down, but we keep going forward. So we are to run this race with patience. We're going to end there. We're going to close there, but next time we might hear some of what we've talked about tonight and think, well, man, this race sounds like it can be a hard thing to go through. Oh, it can. But it can be. This life is not easy. But I love how God's Word is. It gives us encouragements. It gives us motivations to keep on going. And it gives us promises to hold to. And that's what we're going to look at next time, Lord willing. What is our motivation for keeping on going and keep running? What is there to encourage us to keep moving forward? But that's our message tonight. We pray that it may have been a blessing unto you. And we'll submit.